We pick up on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Aleph, Amud Aleph, four lines from the bottom of the Amud. And there we have a story between Antoninus and Rebbe. Antoninus was a Roman nobleman. Perhaps he's a very high-ranking official in the Roman society. And he was a good friend of Rebbe. And they had a conversation about Asid Lava, about the future. Amar le Antoninus the Rebbe. Antoninus said to Rebbe, Gufu neshama yecholam liftar atzma min adin. Both the body and the soul can exempt themselves from punishment. They can make each one can make a claim that would exempt them from punishment. Kate said, how? Guf omer, the body would say, neshama chatas, the soul sin, that wasn't me. Shemiyom sheper shemimeni, because ever since the soul left from me, I am like a stone, and that is a quiet stone in the grave, and I don't sin. So obviously it wasn't me, it was the soul that committed the sin. Uneshama omeris, and the soul said, Gufchata, you know, the body sinned. Shemiyom sheperashti bimeni harini parachas bavir katzipor, then from the day that I separated from the body, and I'm flying in the air like a bird. I don't sin either. So obviously it was the body that sinned. In other words, the argument is that each of the body and the soul can say that they would not have sinned without the other. A human soul without a body cannot sin. The body is, you can say the body is what leads people to sin, and the body can say the same thing about the soul. And what's the response? Amar le, Rebbe said, Emshel lecha mashal, I will respond by giving you the following parable. Lema davar doma, to what is the matter compared? Lemalch basar v'dam she'elo paris noeh, to a king of flesh and blood that had a beautiful orchard. Vayabo bakuros, he had figs that, bakuros naos, he had figs that ripened, they were very beautiful. Voshibo shnei shomrim, and he placed two people to watch, two watchmen to guard and to watch these figs. Echad suma, echad chiger, one was lame, he couldn't walk. Echad suma, one was blind. Omer lo chiger la suma, the cripple, the lame person, said to the blind person, Bakuros knows that he wrote by parties. I see beautiful figs in the orchard. Bava harkiveni, come and place me on your shoulder. Unevim lachlam, and we'll bring them to eat them. You'll help me. I'll guide you where to go, and we'll eat the figs together. Rachav hachigir agave suma, the cripple, the lame person rode on the back of the blind person, and he brought them to the figs and they ate them. Liyamim, after some time, Babal Pardes, the king, the owner of the orchard, came. Amar lahem, he said to the watchman, Bakuros naos heichad hein, where are these beautiful figs in the orchard? You definitely ate them. Amar lo chiger, the cripple said to the king, Kalum yeshli raglayim aleich bahem, do I have legs to walk and to get the figs that you think that I ate them? Amar lo suma, the blind person, the watchman, said to the owner of the orchard, Klum yeshli inayim liros, do I have eyes to see the figs that you think that I ate them? Me asa, so what did the king do? He understood what happened. What did he do so they can't make that claim? Hirkiv chiger agabe suma, he placed the crippled watchman on top of the blind watchman, and he judged them together, he punished them together. So Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe a Nesham V'Zorka Baguf. So you're right, maybe individually the soul cannot sin without the body cannot sin without the soul, but God, what will he do? He'll bring them together, the soul and the body together, and he'll judge them together. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Yikra el ha-shamayim me'al vel ha-aretz ladin amo, and he will call to the heaven from above and to the land to judge his people. So what's the drasha? How do you understand this pasuk? Yikra el ha'shamayim mi'al. He will call to the heaven from above. That's zon neshama. This is the soul. Vela aris ladini amo. And to the ground to judge with him. This is zaguf. This is the body. So, first of all, the neshama in the parable is compared to the cripple, and the body is compared to someone who's blind. Why is that? So the Torah's Chaim writes that the neshama has eyes, and the neshama can see what's going on, but it doesn't have legs. In other words, it has insight, it has understanding. It sees the fruit, but it can't do anything by itself. But it has the so that's why the neshama is like the cripple who can see, and the body is like the blind person. He can walk, but he doesn't have insight. He can't see. So that's the basis of this parable. Now, just one slight point: the Marsha makes the following comment that the soul says that after he dies, then the soul flies in the air. So the Marsha points that this is the neshama of the sinners, who doesn't have rest in Olam Haba, and he flies in the Parachas Bavir Kitzipor Lanud. He's flying in the air like a bird who's wandering around and he's trying to escape, moving from place to place. But he says the neshama of the tzaddikim, the righteous, the soul of the righteous, so they are merit to a place of menucha b'shiva shabala. So when a person dies, according to the Marsha, the neshama is placed in a restful place in the heavenly yeshiva. That's what we say. We say teinishmasot tsura b'tzor hachayim. May the soul be bound in everlasting life. In other words, we want it to be in a place of rest and tranquility. So this notion of the neshama saying is parachas bavir. That's talking about the soul that's sinning. As sin, so therefore he doesn't find any rest. Now, the big question about this parable is when are the body and the soul judged together? According to the parable, it seems that what does God do? God places the neshama, after someone dies, God places the neshama, you know, on the body or in the body, just like he places the lame person on top of the blind person, and he judges them together. So the big question, of course, is it seems from this Gemara that the soul is judged. How is a non-physical entity like the soul judged? So this is a lot of the Mefarshim try to deal with this. So first of all, the Yad Rabbah writes that the Olam Haba, he writes this in his commentary at the beginning of the Perek. And he says when we talk about Olam Haba, we saw that there has been a machlokes, there's a long-standing machlokes. What's Olam Haba? Is Olam Haba the place where we go when we die? And that is according to the Rambam. And the Ramban holds that the Olam Haba is the place where we go after Mashiach comes back, after the resurrection of the dead. That new world is called Olam Haba. Yad Ramah says that the Olam Haba, he holds like the Ramban. And he says that that after resurrection of the dead, so when are we, and this is not the standard understanding, we typically, I think, understand that when someone dies, so at that point he's going to be punished. But according to this Gemara, how can they be punished? Because the soul separates from the body. According to our Gemara, the soul has to be connected to the body. So when does the individual get judged for his sins? According to Yad Ramah, according to this Gemara, only in Olam Haba, after resurrection of the dead. Now, according to this also, what are we saying? That who's going to be resurrected from the dead? Everyone, even sinners. That's also a point of debate. The Rambam holds, for example, that's not the case. Only the righteous will return from the dead, be resurrected. But according to Yad Ramah, the way he understands this Gemara is that in the world to come, i.e. after resurrection of the dead, that's when the soul will be judged, when he is reconnected to his body. That's what the Gemara tells us. That's one way of understanding this. Seems to me that, but others disagree. So how do they understand this Gemara about the soul being punished only when it's in the body? So the Sefer HaIkar, Rav Yosef Albo, says that he says that even though the neshama is a davar ruchani, it's a spiritual matter, that it's the she'ena nitpesit b'makom. You can't place it, you can't grab in a particular place, that Hashem will create a space for it. And that's the goof. So that the soul will receive punishment and suffering for its deeds. And that place is called Gehenna. So Gehenna, according to the Sefer Karim, is this physical space that can hold the neshama. Just like, for example, when we're alive, so our body can hold our soul. So after we die, so God will create a space to hold our neshama for those who need to be punished, and that place will be called Gehenna. That's what this refers to here. And the Anaf Yosef writes something similar, and he says that there's like an upper nefesh and a lower nefesh, and then he says that if there's a gzeira on the upper nefesh, that he should be punished. So we malbishim osa toch nafsho tachtona. We enwrap, we dress this upper soul with the lower soul that is mukshemes nefesh benefesh, that somehow is clothed with some kind of physicality. And in that physicality, that's where it's punished. So that's an interesting machlokes, how to understand this Gemara, where it say that the neshama gets punished. Is that resurrection of the dead, meaning there's no punishment until that? Or is it some place that God creates space for the neshama to be punished in? Now, what actually is the claim of the nefesh, the neshama, and the guf, and what is the response? So the Eitz Yosef writes, each one can say, it wasn't me, right? It wasn't me, that I can't do an avera without the other one. And God says that he sort of compares it to Hilchos Shabbos. Now, what's halacha in Hilchos Shabbos? So let's say two people do a malacha that could have been done by one person. So the halacha is that if two people do a malacha that could only have been done by one person, so you're not chayev on a deraisa level because no one did the full action. But what's God's response? God's response is that the neshama cannot do a sin by himself in this world. The guf cannot do a sin by himself in this world. Only together they can do a sin. So that's similar to doing a malacha. Let's say you can only do a malacha. Let's say a malacha can only be done by two people. Okay, let's say that there is something that's very heavy and it cannot be lifted by one person. So two people need to lift it because it's very heavy, and they carry it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the public domain on Shabbos. Then they both would be chayiv. If it's a small object, like a book, two people carry a book in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So you're not chayiv on a deraisa level. You're not liable on a Torah level because each person could have done it himself. So no one did the full malacha. But if it's a type of object, it's really heavy, only two people can carry it. So then if they carry it on Shabbos, they're chayiv. And that's the same idea of why both the body and the soul are liable. What's the point of this story? So perhaps one point of this story is that you don't have an excuse for sin. Some people say, I can't control what I'm doing. It's not me. It's my neshama. It's not me. It's my body. Or maybe you look at your neshama. That's the holy part of yourself. And the body is the unholy part of yourself, and I can't control my body. And the point of this Gemara is that everyone has free will. It's not true that everyone can control, or everyone has bechira. There is bechira in every part of ourselves, in our guf and our neshama, to do good or evil, and that's why there are consequences for what we do, for the good and for the bad. There's a famous piece by Rav Dessler where he talks about the kudus abachira, that he says maybe we're only judged not on our behaviors, but we're judged on our choices. That maybe a true choice is when there's a tension between what we know is objectively true and what we think is true, what we perceive to be true. And on that, we are rewarded or punished. But the point of our Gemara is that you can't say that it's my body forced me or my soul forced me. whatever the case is, it's not me, it was something else that's part of me that pushed me to do something, we are responsible. Maybe another way to understand another point of the story is, it's a little bit of a chiddush, not what I would have thought, is that Tchiyas HaMeisim, that resurrection, the way with this Gemara is all, this whole paragraph talks about resurrection, Tchiyas HaMeisim. Why do we need Tchiyas HaMeisim? Maybe it's necessary for ultimate justice. Maybe that, this is again, it's not the way I think that many of us understand how punishment is implemented, but maybe that since the sins, since someone committed a sin when his body and soul were together, so maybe reward and punishment is only when the body and soul together, when there is resurrection. This could be a purpose for resurrection. This is the position of the Yad Ramah. Maybe there's a third point of the story. And the third point of the story is that don't think that the body is simply a means to carry out my intentions. And it's like the body simply houses the soul. I think the point of this Gemara is to say that no, the body and the soul are united. It's not simply, again, the soul is my life and it's housed in my body. The soul does not leave, and it's not like, oh, I'm living in this world now alive and my soul is just ready to leave the prison of my body to be liberated when we die and we're free. No, the body is infused with the soul. And it's and when we pass away, we're tearing apart something. We're ripping apart something that's supposed to be united. The body and the soul are supposed to be united. And Tchiyas HaMeisim is a real part of the world. Really, the body and the soul should always be united. And when we die, so this is a tremendous tragedy because the body and the soul are ripped apart. And maybe Tchiyas HaMeisim is the real future of the person. It's not simply that the goal is a soul. And we're housed here in this world temporarily, but the real goal is that the soul should be in the yeshiva shamala after we pass away. The real goal is a body that is infused with the neshama. And in fact, at least the way the Ramban understands Olam Haba is after resurrection. Now that's the true goal. The true goal is not simply a flying soul, but the true goal is a soul that's infused with the body. And that is what this Gemara highlights for us.